Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. I said before that our greatest asset is His presence. The climate of His presence, beyond words, beyond the things we speak, is manifest, concentrated presence. No wonder Moses said, "If Thy presence go not with us, take us not from here." And I want to appeal to our music people. You are eyewitnesses of the intensity of the presence that these songs carry. The depth, the weight of glory, the depth of lyrics. Let's not take it casual. Somebody's encounter may be hanging on one of it. Somebody's destiny. Somebody's change of story. The time is past to sing songs just for the sake of singing. It is time for people to experience God's presence. "For thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." It's very important that we bear that in mind, so that we can help God's people to experience God's presence. And I believe the Lord will help us as we do that. Very, very quickly, I almost just feel like we should just proceed in praying and crying and so on. But I'll say a few words tonight, as fast as I can, and then hand us over to God for further encounters. Luke chapter 19. Verse 13 to 26. "And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come." Move to the next verse. Move to the next verse. All right, let's look at the 15th verse. "And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading." I'll stop there. Now the first came and said, "Lord, thy pound had gained 10 pounds." This is Occupy Till I Come, part 5, and it is titled Transact and Make Gain for the Kingdom Till I Come. Transact and Make Gain. Till I come. In the morning, we saw the ministry of the master. He returned and decided to find out how much they had gained by trading. Our objective tonight is what it takes to make gain for the kingdom. So another understanding we are gaining tonight in Occupy Till I Come is make transactions for the kingdom till I come. Make gain for the kingdom till I come. Make transactions for the kingdom till I come. Make gain for the kingdom till I come. Bring profit to the kingdom till I come. The question somebody will ask tonight is, Lord, is my life bringing profit to the kingdom? Am I making gain for the kingdom? Am I a cause of gain, so I am occasioning losses for the kingdom? There are some people on the ground of whose lives heaven is losing. People stopped coming to church or are not coming to church on the ground of the assignment is meant to be making for the kingdom. There are some workers in the church. Maybe it's a security man at the gate, or it's a traffic control officer or an usher. On his account, the kingdom is losing. Many potential church people went back because of his involvement in the kingdom. There are some pastors' wives occasioning losses for the kingdom. There are people who should have been in church except for the woman. There are pastors themselves occasioning losses for the kingdom. The church was massive before he was posted. When he arrived, the church dried up. He is a cause of losses for the kingdom. And I want us tonight to begin to examine ourselves. What am I causing the kingdom? What is my impact in the kingdom? There are rebellious people who divide church. They break church. And then some people got offended with both sides. You say, why did his boss treat him like this? The other one say, why did he behave like that? And then somebody say, I'm not going to any church anymore. Losses. Beloved brothers and sisters, we are going to examine ourselves before God tonight. And he said, he came to ask them how much they have gained by trading. I am in a transaction for the kingdom of God. I am doing kingdom business, and it's the business of saving souls. Am I occasioning profit or losses? That's on a general note. How do I bring profit to the kingdom? I am going to look at four of these things tonight. How do I make gain for the kingdom? How do I bring profit to the kingdom? Number one, by causing maximum damage and losses to the kingdom of darkness. How do I occasion gain? How do I bring gain to the kingdom of heaven? How do I bring gain to the kingdom of God? By occasioning massive damage, colossal damage, and losses to the kingdom of darkness. You look through the Bible, you will see the people that brought losses and damage to hell. Example number one will be Moses. The assignment of Moses in Exodus chapter 12 verse 12. He brought judgment to the gods of Egypt. He said, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. That was through the ministry of Moses. And I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment, saith the Lord. Not only were the gods of Egypt judged, But the army of Pharaoh and the army of Egypt sank in the Red Sea. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 1 and in verse 21, Exodus 15, Moses sang, and the children of Israel sang this song unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider has he thrown into the sea. And in verse 21, and Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider has he thrown into the sea. What is the meaning of this? It means, as a minister of the gospel, the kingdom of darkness suffer maximum casualty in your hands. Altars of darkness, territorial powers and principalities, they suffer damage. Everywhere you appear, they suffer damage. Everywhere you appear, they suffer damage. Everywhere you appear, they experience casualties. The loss, the damage of the kingdom of darkness is gain to the kingdom of light. Am I communicating at all? Elijah was such an instrument of colossal damage. In 1 Kings chapter 18 from verse 38, Elijah single-handedly cleaned out the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Ashtaroth from the land of Israel. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their knee, on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Cleaning out idol worship from the land is maximum benefit for the kingdom. Slaying the false prophets, cleaning them from the territory, is maximum benefit to the kingdom. Am I communicating at all? Somebody is going to ask God before this night is over, Father, give me that kind of anointing. That kind of anointing that makes demons to cry, that makes demons to weep. The Bible said in Acts of the Apostles chapter 8, in from verse 5, Philip went to Samaria, and as he preached to them Christ, unclean spirits cried out. Unclean spirits cried out. He was causing a lot of damage to demons, a lot of damage to satanic powers, a lot of damage to evil altars, until they began to cry out, Lord, give me that kind of mantle that makes demons, help him, that makes demons to cry, that make altars to shed tears. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Somebody told us a story some time back where an evil altar was trying to attack someone connected here. And as they went right, the native doctor went into the shrine to consult. This idol that he went to consult was shedding tears of blood from his eyes. Next thing was calamity. Both the native doctor and the house of hell. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? God is raising a generation of people that will make the devils of their family to cry, that will make the demons of their village to cry, that will make the altars of their communities to shed tears, that will make national principalities to shed tears. If you are among them, shout the loudest amen. Shout amen at the top of your voice. Shout a believer's amen. We're going for a crusade somewhere in Benue State some time ago. And one of the pastors in the land said, he saw a revelation a few days before the crusade. And he saw a trailer, truckload of masquerades. They were driving out of town. And they asked them, what is going on? They said, we have to leave now. Dr. Paul Adventure is coming to town. We hear that he's coming to town. We need to move before he arrives here. Why? Because they know that by the time we arrive, they will report in hell. They may be sacked from the earth permanently.
their assignment may be terminated completely. They may be banished in hell forever. So they have to step out of the way first and see whether they can return when we have come back. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? I am trusting God for a very brutal anointing, a very fearful anointing, a fierce anointing, a lionic anointing that is coming upon somebody here, that your arrival is their disappearance. Your arrival is their departure. Say after me, say, Father, I receive that kind of anointing that causes losses, that causes losses for the kingdom of darkness, that kind of fire that causes damage to hell. I receive it now.
Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. When they looked at Samson, in Judges chapter 16 verse 24, they said of Samson, when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, our God has delivered our enemy, the destroyer of our country. We slew many of us. If not that Samson messed up, that would have been his permanent testimony. This man is the destroyer of the kingdom of darkness. This man is the destroyer of our land. God is looking for men and women that will be destroyers of evil kingdoms, will be destroyers of demonic powers, destroyers of demonic altars, occasioning losses and damage. That is why you came here tonight. We are in a militarization camp. And by the time you have left here to where you are going, to your business world, to the realm of your, wherever you have come from, you will be the greatest nightmare of the devil. You didn't hear what I'm saying. Somebody is about to become the worst nightmare of the devil. The worst nightmare of demonic powers. The worst nightmare of territorial powers. You believe that, shout the loudest amen. You believe that, shout the believers amen. The destroyer of our nation. The destroyer of our nation. In Acts chapter 23 and verse 13 and 23. Acts chapter 12, rather, verse 23 and 24. Acts chapter 12, 23 and 24. By the ministry of the apostles, the angel of the Lord smote Herod. He died, gave up the ghost. And verse 24, the church exploded. That is damage to hell, increase for the kingdom. Damage to the kingdom of darkness, increase for the kingdom of heaven. Herod died, church grew. Herod died, church multiplied. How do you profit the kingdom? Let every herald die in every territory where they are. Let every herald that is standing in the way, let your ministry begin to lead to the deaths of herods, begin to lead to the deaths of pharaohs, begin to lead to the deaths of satanic high priests. Is anybody hearing what I am saying here? Lift your voice and say, Father, I receive the grace to profit the kingdom, to bring gain to the kingdom by eliminating the herods from various territories. You believe that, shout the loudest amen. You believe that, shout the loudest amen. You believe that, shout the loudest amen. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 16 and in verse 16, Paul the apostle came to a territory, and as he went to pray, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination, he met them, which brought the masters much gain by soothsaying. And the same followed Paul and them, cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command you, come out in the name of Jesus.
and it came out of her the same hour. This girl was possessed with the spirit of divination. The Bible said she brought her masters much gain. What you must understand is that every time the kingdom of darkness is gaining, the kingdom of light is losing. The gain of the kingdom of hell is the loss to the kingdom of light. She brought her masters much gain until Paul arrived. Let the kingdom of darkness only gain because you are not there. Let the native doctor only prosper. Let the altar of the witch doctor flourish only because you are not yet around. Because for as long as they are patronizing the native doctor, they will have no need to go to the church. But for as long as they patronize the witch doctor, they will have no need to go to the church. For as long as they patronize the soothsayer, the palm reader, the stargazer, they will have no need to go to the church. Even for as long as they patronize the native doctor that is camouflaging as a pastor. They think they are serving God, so there will be no need to go to church. They think that they are, I'm already going to church. I'm already serving God. And they never knew that it was an agent of the devil that decided to leave the shrine and wear tie and suit and stand on the altar and begin to minister to people in the name of the Lord. You know, we thought that these things are only happening today. But I read Kenneth Hagin's book and he said, he saw a man ministering. And this man was so accurate, he would tell you everything you are carrying in your pocket. Every single thing so prophetic. And all of a sudden he realized it was a spirit of divination that flowed through this man and was moving and manifesting as the spirit of light. And the meaning of that is, for as long as the multitudes hold him in high esteem like Simon the sorcerer, they are distracted from the living God. So the kingdom of darkness is gaining. The kingdom of light is losing. Potential church workers, potential sons and daughters of God, potential even pastors and ministers are under a strong deception because they thought that they are serving God. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? That is why we need the primitive apostolic anointing. We need the ancient prophetic anointing, the primitive apostolic anointing, the type that Peter flowed in, that Paul flowed in. As big as Paul was, he was deceived for 3 days. These are the servants of the Lord that brought us the words of salvation. She was saying the right thing. Nothing wrong with the statement, but everything wrong with the source. It was not the statement that was the challenge. It was who is speaking. Who is speaking? Evil spirits can speak the right things. They can say things that are not wrong. But that doesn't make it right, because the source is wrong. And the wrongness of the source corrupts the whole of the result. Are you hearing what I'm saying? For 3 days, Paul continued. He thought he was dealing with someone that was praising God and praising what God was doing through him. All of a sudden, he realized, this is not God. This is not the Spirit of God. Get out! And on the spot, that spirit checked out. The gain for darkness ended. And the loss for the loss of darkness stepped in. And the gain for the kingdom commenced. So the people were mad and took Paul and put him in prison. But the God whom he served, that checked out that devil, stepped into the prison. Are you hearing what I'm saying here?
You see, we are so many nations here. No matter how many nations we go to preach the gospel, there is a limit to what one person can do. That is why so many people are here tonight. And that is why something is going to come upon you that you are going to take to your nation. You are going to take to your community. And you are going to tell the devil, you have gained enough. You have made gain enough at the expense of the kingdom. You have made profit enough at the expense of the kingdom. You have deceived people enough. Time up, time up, time up. Get out. I release upon everyone here tonight an ancient apostolic prophetic judgmental mantle. That you are going to take and move and cause the kingdom of darkness to begin to suffer losses. And cause the kingdom of darkness to begin to suffer losses. All those who are making gain at the expense of the kingdom, making gain for hell at the expense of the kingdom, I declare their season is over. Their season of gain is over. Their assignment is over. Their business is over. You believe that? Shout the loudest, amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. And Herod died. The girl with the spirit of divination was set free. And heaven began to gain. The woman of God, Daisy Osborne was our mother, my wife and myself. Daisy Osborne and T.L. Osborne was our marriage model. Daisy Osborne, T.L. Osborne, Kenneth Copeland, Gloria Copeland, and then Charles and Frances Hunter. But Daisy Osborne, very brutal woman. She would go ahead of her husband, arrange things, set the stage, and T.L. will come, step to the altar, and minister. She went one day and she came to a land in preparation for a crusade where he saw a witch doctor with a snake on his neck, and the crowd gathered and they were watching the display of that witch doctor that took the attention of the people. Now they were coming for a crusade and that was going to distract. That was going to distract the move of God that was happening there. And she went straight to the native, that witch doctor. And he said, give me that snake. The native doctor looked at her like, you woman, you want to try my power? Said, give me that snake. He said, take. She stretched her hand, pulled the snake. It was a stick in her hand. That was a Moses' anointing. She desnaked the witch doctor, destroyed his power, rendered him powerless on the spot. Everybody who stood and were watching the magic, all of a sudden they changed sides. Priest ministered powerfully to them. Long story made short, when that crusade came and that crusade ended, it was a tornado of the spirit, because there was someone who stepped and dared to make satanic powers to stop profiting at the expense of the kingdom. All of you who came from the Francophone speaking countries, you know there is a lot of voodoo, Togo and all the Benin Republic and Cameroon and all of that. A lot of voodoo we have in Nigeria too. We have in West Africa too. We have in Ghana plenty. But it looks like the French area is unusual. But very, very soon, their idol altars shall begin to experience fire by your assignment and by your ministry. Altars of voodoo shall be deserted. All
daughters of the kingdom of darkness shall be deserted. Help her there. And the profit they are making for the kingdom of hell shall be over, and there shall be profit for the kingdom of heaven. Shout the loudest, amen.
Tomorrow morning, you shall have an anointing service. When you come with your bottle of oil. You carry that bottle of oil and arrive the territory where you are. Step your feet on the bare ground. Announce to the territorial principality that you just arrived.
The Bible says Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit and anoint that ground and step to the city center and begin to serve them quick notice. Say, I came here to serve you quick notice. I came here to ask you to pack out of here. Pack out of Ghana. Pack out of this city. Get out of this place. Anoint their centers. Go close to their shrines. Sprinkle the oil there.
There shall be awesome testimonies. Incredible, unbelievable testimonies. We have stood there and prophesied. Evil altars caught fire at distances away. We have prophesied from here. Evil forests caught fire. Evil trees caught fire. And it shall happen again. Shakoko bagadagalagadagalagala. Master Frato Sete Fete Sina Galarada Hasadi. Leto Sefete Sina Galayalala. Somebody lift your hands and say, Father, I receive the grace to cause damage to the kingdom of darkness by the power of the cross. I receive the grace. I receive the courage. I receive the fire. I receive the mantle to cause damage to the kingdom of darkness. I receive it now.
Take your seat. Let me tell you the second thing and then the third. And I will shall be done.
Profiting the kingdom. Oh, wow. I have three more. Profiting, making gain for the kingdom. Number one. I said, it is occasioning maximum damage. Can you place it back on the screen with the scriptures? Maximum damage to the kingdom of darkness. How do you make gain, bring gain to the kingdom? Number two. By occasioning the salvation of satanic principal people, what you might call kingpins. In the first case, we are dealing with their altars, possibly judging their evil men like Herod. This second case is the opposite. By occasioning the salvation of satanic principal people, there is something they call kingpin. There is one person that can be saved, that God can lead you to save, that can save a city. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about. There are times you lead somebody to Christ and you have led a soul to Christ. There are times you lead somebody to Christ and you have led a city.
Yes, sir.
You have led a nation. Many of us have been leading people to Christ. But God wants us now to begin to lead territories. Example number one, the woman of Samaria. The woman of Samaria in John chapter 4 and in verse 28. She was a soul that was saved, but she was beyond the soul. This woman,
that everybody knew in Samaria. They knew how prolific she was with men. One man, second man, fourth man, fifth man. She's with the sixth man, which is not her husband. And now she's meeting a seventh man. And she doesn't know what this seventh man wants from her. But this was a seventh man with a difference. And by the time this seventh man was through with her, this woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men,
because men were her customers,
said to the men, come and see a man which told me all the things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came out. A city of about 40,000 people emptied because of one person's salvation. Our labor will become easy if, in addition to saving souls, we begin to save principal people, kingpins, territorial commanders, people whose lives are tied to other lives. Other lives are tied to their lives. When you get them saved, you got a generation saved. When you get them saved, you got a territory saved. When you get them saved, you got a nation saved. Did somebody hear what I'm just saying? Example number two, Simon the sorcerer. I mentioned Simon. In Acts chapter 8, verse 9 to verse 13, Simon the sorcerer was considered a big man, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria. He said that he was a great person. Look at what the Bible said. Everybody in Samaria gave him, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because of a long time he bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom and the name of Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed also, and he was baptized. Samaria was already overwhelmed. But the salvation of Simon, that everybody thought was the power of God, who was the power of the devil, the salvation of Simon was the seal on the rescue of Samaria. You cannot save Simon and somebody will say nothing happened. You cannot save Simon and somebody will say nothing happened. You cannot save Simon and somebody will say they are just joking there. It's a matter of if Simon can be saved. If Simon can believe in what these people came to preach, and they say, who will give his life to Christ? Lift up your hand. Hand and leg. These are satanic principal men. These are evil kingpins. Some are not necessarily satanic, but they are kingpins. They are major influencers. They determine many destinies. Many people are tied to them. Many people hear their voice. Many people are under their control. Many people are under their manipulative influence. And God is saying, if you want to profit the kingdom, win the souls, but win the principal. Go for the principal people. Receive a mantle. I'd like you to understand that Jesus saved individuals. That does not excuse you from that. One-on-one evangelism continues. But in the course of this one-on-one evangelism, you will come across, Jesus was doing a one-on-one evangelism with a woman in Samaria. And not unknown to all of us, that one woman was tied to a whole city of Samaria. She was tied, she was connected to the whole city of Samaria. I announce to somebody today, God is about to release you into a realm where a whole city shall be saved. For those of us too, that God helps in healing and miracle and deliverance ministry, there is one person's healing. One person was healed that can pull a whole city. When we go for crusades, let's trust God for such. That was the case of Aeneas
in Luke chapter 9. That's Acts chapter 9. That's my example number 3. Acts chapter 9 and in verse 35. Peter went to minister to Aeneas. Now, start from verse 33. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which has kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, make thy bed. And he arose immediately. See, 2 cities turned to God by one man's healing. Why are you still here? Move to the next verse. And all that dwelt at Lydda, all, and Saron, saw him and turned to the Lord. That is what they call in Africa, one blow, 7 die. One healing. One man's healing. One man's healing took over a whole city. One man's healing. Peter didn't need to preach another message. He didn't need to say, will you give your life to Christ? That man had kept his bed for years. Everyone knew him. He was a paralyzed, paralytic person. Probably an influential man in the city. A healing, one healing, saved the city. Oh, how easy will evangelism be if you step into the town where you are and God led you to the kingpin of the place and he said, preach to this man, get him saved. And you got the man saved. And the man came to church on Sunday. One woman came here on Sunday the other day. I think she came to do Thanksgiving or so. And came with about 500 of her employees. Oh, yes. I'm coming to church. I have a testimony to share. And all of them came. They have to come. They have to come. They have to come. They all came. Everyone here. All of us working here in our company. They all stood up. 500 people is a congregation. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? I am trusting the Lord for this. Because if we, like I said in the morning, if we continue as the traditional mission work, it will take thousands of years. But we need to begin to see certain drastic things right now. We need to begin to see certain individuals saved that saves a city. Certain individuals saved that save a nation. Certain people healed that deliver a whole community. The chief of the land, or somebody notorious that they know. And I decree today, by the mantle of the Lord, it shall happen. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. If you are saying amen, shout the Lord must say amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Maybe I'll round off on this point with the healing of the man at the beautiful gate. In Acts chapter 3, that man had been seated for 40 years. But Acts chapter 3, because of time, jumped to verse 10. And the Bible said, this man, now when he was healed, the Bible said they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were all filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's. Greatly wondering. No handbill, no publicity, no radio announcement, no internet buzz. All that happened was a man that sat at the temple for 40 years, saved on the spot, and everybody ran. All the people ran. All the people ran. All the people ran. Whatever can make this man walk, I believe in it. Whatever can make this man walk, I believe in it. Whatever can make this man walk, I am in it. I am in it. I am ready for it. Whatever can. I saw this man when I was a baby, and I am now 20 years old, and he has been seated there for 40 years.
I knew him. I saw him. He never changed position. If it is the same man jumping and walking like that, whatever changed him, I'm ready for it. Whatever changed him, I'm ready for it. Am I speaking to somebody here at all? It is time to begin to do business for the kingdom in deep waters. It's time to leave shallow waters. It's time to do business in great waters. They see the wonders of God in the deep. It's time to leave superficial matters, surface things, results that are gradual. It's time to begin to trust God for very drastic things to begin to happen. And I speak to somebody here, that shall be your testimony. 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 You believe it, shout the Lord and say amen. Let me rush and round off right now. Occupy till I come. Transact and make gain for the kingdom till I come. Cause damage to the kingdom of darkness. Give them losses till I come. Cause demonic, satanic, principal people, kingpins, cause them to be saved. Cause them to be healed until I come. Trust me to do it. Number three. How do we produce gain for the kingdom? Influence systems, institutions, and nations for the kingdom. True excellence and integrity. That is, I want you to influence systems, institutions, nations. Now, this is talking to people in the marketplace, majorly. The head of department, the vice chancellor, the head of a business organization, this and that. Influence systems, influence institutions, influence nations for the kingdom through excellence and integrity till I come. Why excellence and integrity? Because the combination brings honor to God. It brings honor to the kingdom. It attracts multitudes to the kingdom. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 13 and in verse 15, ye are the light of the world. Verse 15, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The meaning of that is, whatever you do, be the best in your field. Rise to the top of your field. Become the best in what you do. Let be the kingdom person that is the best architect and the best engineer and the best lawyer, the best medical doctor and the best pilot, airplane pilot, and be the best administrator. Just be the best at what you do. And being the best, do it with integrity. Do it with character. Let the people say, this person is a kingdom person. And let them honor the God that you serve, that is not cutting corners, is not fraudulent, is not crooked. He's a straightforward person and he's the best at this work. And he's pulling systems, pulling institutions. And then, when you speak, they hear you. That was Joseph influencing the kingdom of Egypt with excellence, with character. That was David influencing the kingdom of Israel with excellence, with character. That was Queen Esther. She won the beauty contest, the beauty pageant. She won the contest. She was the best.
of all the virgins, they chose her. And she maintained integrity. She was not covetous. She did not require anything other than what they gave to them to use. She was the best. And then she stood out and influenced the whole of the Persian Empire and forbade Haman from eliminating the Jews by the power of character, excellence, integrity. She shifted the laws of Midian and Persian by excellence and integrity. That was Daniel. Daniel, the man of excellence with the spirit of excellence that refused to defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. And he influenced the whole of the Babylon-Medo-Persian Empire in the direction of God, changed their laws for the sake of the kingdom. That is how to bring profit to the kingdom. You have excellence, you have integrity, you are an authority in your field. Nobody does it better than what you do, and so they take you to the top. And when you cough, they respect you. When you sneeze, they respect you. Job said, when I speak, they speak not again. And my speech dropped upon them like the rain. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? That is what God is looking for. The reason why the kingdom of God is suffering a lot of losses is because of colossal epidemic of mediocrity. A lot of Christian and church people are mediocres in their places of work. They are the ones that they are always giving the queries. They are the ones that they are always giving suspension, disciplinary measures. They are not doing their work well. And they want people to respect their God and respect their church. I'd like you to know that excellence is a department of holiness. The Lord your God is in the midst of you. You should clean your camp. He should not see any excrement on the ground. You have a paddle. He's in the midst of you. He will not see any excrement among you. Daniel, that refused to defile himself, also was the most excellent. Holiness does not travel alone. It travels with excellence. Show me a man who is truly holy, truly disciplined. He will be excellent. Excellent. Mediocrity is associated. Mediocrity is almost a cousin of iniquity. Because it's the mediocre that will cut corners. It's the mediocre that will write a false time of resumption to work. When he came late, he wrote that he came early. Mediocrity goes hand in hand with compromise. Am I speaking to somebody here at all? God is saying to everyone in the marketplace, in the political world, the business world, you are going to profit the kingdom and profit the kingdom of heaven. Listen to me. Your excellence is more evangelistic than your utterance. Your excellence is more evangelistic than your utterance. The things they see about you, your outstanding distinguished life, the results you are producing on the grounds of your excellence is preaching more message than your preaching. Let your light shine before men. Not that they may hear your preaching. The preaching is good. That they may see. That they may see. There are things people are waiting to see, that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. Somebody say amen. Amen. Anytime you are failing in the place of work, they are serving you queries and they are telling you, can I see your Bible? And they are telling you, all he knows how to do is to carry the Bible. That's all he knows how to do. And be claiming he's speaking in tongues. That's all he knows how to do. He cannot just balance a simple account. He can't operate a simple system. An ordinary work that should take him 2 hours is taking 24 hours to bring back this report that he was asked to produce. All he does is carry Bible. He claims he goes to church. Church, 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 church. That is all he does. I don't go to church, but I'm doing better than them. I'm producing more result at work. When you are like that, you are producing losses for the kingdom. You have become a minus factor. You have become a reduction to the kingdom. You have become a burden to the kingdom, not a blessing. You have become a kingdom liability, not an asset. Hallelujah. We are talking about occupy till I come. Make transactions and produce gain for the kingdom. Produce gain for the kingdom. Let the kingdom make gain. Let the kingdom gain. Let the kingdom increase because of your life. Until I come. Somebody was led to Christ while I was in the university in those days. And he was directed to go to a church. And he said, is there any other church you would like me to go? They say, why? He said, no, my girlfriend is in that church. That is, we are in active iniquity together. If that is where you want me to go, it may affect my belief. Direct me to somewhere else. Supposing that person goes back completely, that person has become a minus to the kingdom. It's a cause of loss. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Lift your hands and say, Father, I will not be a minus. I will not produce damage. I will not produce losses for the kingdom. In the name of Jesus. Finally, please take your seat. And I want everybody who is in the business world to listen to this. We have talked about occupy in terms of represent me, replace me, or represent me, take steps on my behalf, speak for me, act in my stead, and so on, until I come. But when you analyze this scripture critically, he is talking also majorly financial transaction. Even though it is a parable, but it can have direct application. The last guy who came and said, how much have you traded? And he said, here is your pound. I saw that you are an austere man. You're trying to reap where you did not plant and so on. And Jesus told him, you wicked man. The minimum you could have done is to put my money in the bank. Bank is there. You would have put my... Look at that. Wherefore then givest not thou my... money into the bank, that at my coming I would have received my money with interest. Say, I'll deal with you, guy. Collect the money from him. Give to the person who has. And take this from him. Anyone who has more shall be given. The one who has not, the one who is not trading well, even what he has will be taken from him. Finally, making gain for the kingdom, number four for tonight, is conquer resources for the kingdom till I come. Conquer resources. Not just for your sake. I know of Christian businessmen who are doing very well. Doing businesses, making profit, they pay their tithe, they give their offerings, give towards crusades, and all of that. But what this scripture is speaking about is a different realm altogether. Conquer finances, resources, that is strictly kingdom resources. This business is yours. This one is kingdom. It's revolutionary, but it's real. Do I have any witness anywhere? Yes. When God gave the children of Israel, the Bible said he gave them favor in the sight of the Egyptians. They emptied Egypt. Was that Exodus 11:3 or 12:3? He gave them favor. Exodus 12 and in verse 36 again. He gave the people favor. And they emptied Egypt. Now when they reached the wilderness, God said, tell the people, the purpose for which I gave you this thing has come. Everyone bring the gold. Everyone bring the silver. Everyone bring the wood, onyx stone. Everything that is in your possession. I'm about to build my tabernacle. And the people began to bring. God will not make demands where he has not made a deposit. He will not never place a demand until he has made deposits. He made massive deposits. And many and some years along the line, he said, what I deposited at that time is not your resources, it's kingdom resources. This is the time for release. And the Bible says, you can place that scripture on the screen. And the people began to bring. And to bring, 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 until Moses said, it is enough. We are coming to that point where the pastor will stand on the altar and announce and say, if it is for this project, don't bring anymore. We have enough. Papa Yedeko announced that for the Ark project already. He said, every money we need for this project is already available. In fact, all the ACs, everything is bought. Escalators, everything is bought. If you want to bring money, if it is for this project, don't bring another dime. But if you want to bring for church planting, you can go ahead. And Moses gave a commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. Am I communicating? Take your seat. Let me quickly round up. Now, you know the heathen king called Cyrus. Cyrus. And there are going to be a lot of Cyruses that God will raise in this end time. When kingdom people fail to do what they should do, God will visit a wholesome unbeliever whose heart he has conquered, who he will impart a revelation on what resources he's giving him and what it is for. In Cyrus, he said in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 1 to verse 3, he said, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, an unbeliever, is called his anointed, whose right hand I have holding to subdue nations before him. I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the tulip gates, and the gates shall not be shut. For what purpose? He said, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. For what? And I will give Cyrus the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, so that you, Cyrus, may know that I, the Lord, which call you by name, I am the God of Israel. Wait a minute. God, I am a sinner. I am not of the tribe of Israel. I am a Persian. Why are you giving me the treasures of darkness? Hidden riches of secret places. Massive money like this. Then God answered him in verse 13. He said, I have raised this Cyrus up in righteousness. I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city. He is not building my building. He's not building a church. He shall build my city. And through his resources, he shall let the captives go free. He will single-handedly
bankroll crusades that will save cities and nations. Not for price, nor for reward. He's not looking for anything in return, saith the Lord of hosts.
Is God speaking to somebody here? Thank God for your mansion, your beautiful cars, and your faithfulness in kingdom practice. But he's taking us to a dimension where outside whatever you say is yours, that this one is 100% kingdom. I'll give you an example shortly. And then, not for price, not for reward, saith the Lord, I have raised this Cyrus. Somebody lift up your hands and say, Father, I am available. Help me, Lord, to conquer resources for the sake of the kingdom. Kingdom resources. Take your seat. Now, they are selling churches in Europe. The other day, they sold a church in Australia to the other religion. There are churches in Belgium they are selling, everywhere. Someone will enter an agreement with God and say, Lord, I want to establish this business. And this business assignment is to buy back all churches for sale. Here I'm not talking of tithe or offering or income. This is not tithe. This is 100% return. Is any church globally, when I sense is for sale, is bought and left. Bought and kept, bought and kept, bought and kept. And then Pastor Zenzo said, God is leading me to plant a church in Amsterdam or wherever. And the man said, yeah, why not? I have a building I already bought. Go ahead and take it over. It's the document. Another pastor said, I'm planting a church. See, the man that has been used to buy up 1,000 church buildings that could have been bought and turned into nightclub. That man who is doing business, who is conquering wealth for kingdom purpose. I like our business brothers and sisters. Let your mind experience a revolution. Everything we have, thank God for them. But none of them follows us into the grave. None of them follows us. Paul the apostle says, I have all and I abound. I have received from you, from Epaphroditus, the things that are sweet smelling, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. And he will put all these fruits, not that I have a need, but that fruit may abound to your account. That there are things we do for God here that enters our account with God in heaven. What the only thing that follows us into eternity is investments made in the kingdom. Whatever work, whatever labor. He said, blessed are the dead who die in Christ, and their works follow them. Revelation. Their works follow them. The churches they bought, the crusades they handled, their works follow them. Went to Jalingo for crusade. You saw the Jalingo crusade the other day. And before we went, one of the brethren in the church here, he said, what is the idea of a bill for the crusade? And once it was, he said, I want to handle two crusades. What's the bill for that crusade? Once the bill was mentioned, the church already started spending. He paid all of it. I mean, he just brought these 80. And then, when the crusaders happened, he carried the picture of the crusade and put it on his DP. This was made this year, right? He put it on his DP and he said, This is worth living for. This is worth anything. He shared it with his friends. He shared it with people. Excitedly. Excitedly. Same person has done more since then. Do you understand what I'm talking about? That stadium was filled. There was overflow. People stayed outside the stadium. Almost every square inch on ground, there was overflow. There were people outside. This is the overflow. People outside the stadium. Have you ever seen such a thing before? That was my first time of seeing a stadium overflow. See overflow. A baby was born at the crusade. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? You know what David said? David said in Psalm 122. I believe it was in verse 7. Move forward. Keep going. Verse 9. Because of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek your good. If you look at the translation of the NIV, even though he said, another translation, for the sake of the house of our God, I will seek your prosperity. I am going to look for resources, not for my sake anymore. I'm going to look for my resources. This is not for my sake anymore. I don't have need for money right now. But I'm looking for money for the sake of the house of my God. And God gave him plenty of money. In Psalm 132 and in verse 1, he said, Lord, remember David and all his afflictions. How he swore unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob. He said, surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord, a habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. I won't sleep until I find God a house, until I build God a house. Then he said, for the sake of God's house, I am looking for money. The person who is the owner of Colgate toothpaste, the one who started it, his name is William Colgate. Christian man, solid man. He began tithing 10% and then shifted to give 20% and then shifted to give 30%, 40%, 50%, 60%. Everything God gave him, 70%, 80%, 90%. Then he came to a point when he decided that the money he has made so far, that he has already tithed, that remains, will do him for the rest of his life. So from then forward, 100% is back to the kingdom. I don't need any dime back to me anymore. I mean, any money I need, I've already made. Anything I want, I've already done. 100% back to the kingdom. Do you understand what I'm saying? I am talking of people coming to the point. We will chase the devil to hell when there are kingdom finances and kingdom resources that we use, that is not struggling to flow. When a church needs to be bought, it is bought. When a church needs to be built, it is built. When a crusade needs to be held, it's held. There are two evangelists in this hall right now that are on our monthly givings from us, from church, in six zeros every month. That is not our own crusade. They are on their own crusades, and they are giving. We are trusting God for more. That is for more of such evangelistic work around the world. We have given something like that to some international evangelists. Caucasian man from another country, two of them, one from America, one from somewhere, doing things around the world. This is our release to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? We are trusting the Lord that we'll come to the point where that happens. There is a man in this church. He's in this service right now. He has business enterprises. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. These 4 is for him. These 5 is for the kingdom. Every week he remits what is coming out of that one for the kingdom in 6 zeros every week. This is our business. This one is for the kingdom. This one is for the kingdom. 1 cc won't be touched for anything. This is 100% kingdom. How can you come to such a post? That man now is about to enter into a partnership that is about to shift his life into billions in foreign currency. He's about to step into a partnership now on his business endeavor that is just about to shift him completely, because he first started with his conquering of resources for the kingdom. Am I communicating at all? We have done crusades around the world. Gone to America. The other day we traveled to Canada 2 years ago. Somebody says, what's the bill of getting a plane to go there? He got the bill and paid it one hand. It was a Global Express. That's top of the range. He paid for it. Took us there. I think took us also to America and then back home. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Conquer resources. Let's let heaven use the resources to punish Satan. Let him regret his rebellion. Let him regret his devilism, his devilishness. Let evangelists stop. What, a bishop, very respectable bishop in Africa, crusader, great, great work. He said to me, Pastor Paul, what are you doing? 3 crusades in 1 week is unheard of. Apart from the energy of travel, how do you get the resources? What it takes to plan 1 crusade? And this crowd that you saw gathering, advert, publicity, every single thing. And then you went for the crusade, you took no offering, and you returned back. What? How? What are you doing? He said, because he knew a notable evangelist that most of us know. His son said he will not follow his father's footstep to be an evangelist. That he did not want the pain of looking for money for crusades. That he saw his father weep many times, trusting for finances to go to crusade ground, to hold the next crusade, weep for resources. And the boy said, I am never going to follow that footstep. I don't have the time to cry like that. And that was real. God wants kingdom resources that will stop evangelists from weeping, that will stop laborers from looking for where the next supply will come from. And the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The cattle on 1,000 hills belongs to God. He is the owner of the universe. He is looking for people. He is looking for partners that he will commit resources, into whose hands he will commit resources, and then will go and dominate the world. He said, your kingdom, true prosperity, shall be spread abroad. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 19. God's kingdom is spread. 17. Cry yet, saying, my city's true prosperity shall be spread abroad. The kingdom in Europe is spread with financial massive resources. It spread in Asia, spread in America, spread in South America, spread in Africa, spread on the ground. The Bible says a poor man's voice is not heard, and his wisdom is despised. They despise a poor ministry. A poor man's voice is not heard, and his wisdom is despised. They don't hear. You see, and the Bible says money answered. Money answered. You won't go and speak in tongues, and then they give you a stadium free of charge for crusade. She said, how much will you pay? You say, Shakoko paparatasika kalagadaga shada. Whatever is the amount of that tongue is what I am paying. Oh no, they will take you to a psychiatric home. They will say, something is wrong with the man's mind. Something is, he ran crazy. You need to pay cash. You need to answer cash. You need to give it cash. You get the equipment cash. You get all the things necessary cash. And then you stand there and money is not a worry. You preach from your heart. Cast out devils from your heart and move with force and fire, because you are not worrying about how the next bill shall be paid. Stand up on your feet. How to round up tonight? We have to take responsibility. Pastors, we have to teach. It must be wet. It can't be dry. If God makes you a conduit of his resources, a conduit of his supply, you can never be dry. The little water that is inside you makes you a multi-billionaire, a millionaire, a billionaire. Why? Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I am inviting people tonight. Our time is far spent. Otherwise, I would have made a call right now. For as many as say, Pastor, I want to make maximum resources for the kingdom. I'm going to make money for myself. I am going to have a lot of money. I'll build orphanages. I'll do this and do that. My own business will grow. But I want God to commit resources into my hands that is solely kingdom resources. They were doing some decorations. I mean, some things in the church here ahead of this convention. They were doing some things, touch here, ahead of this convention, and doing a lot of things. And it was in 70s, right? Yes, it was in 70s, not 60s. It was in 70s, 8-figure. And they said that they want to, let me sign for the, let me let the accounts office come and let them pay the bill. I said, no, this one is not accounts matter. It's from my pocket. This one don't need to bother account with it. My wife brought a check, one signature. Yes. And I let God know this is my realm. Just try me with resources. You will see what it will do. Just try me. You will see what it will do. You will see how it will chase the devil. I mean, there are some of us, nothing matter. I don't care where I sleep. There are monies we have signed that can build mansions. There are monies we have released that can build estates. That's released at once. For the sake of kingdom matters. Should I tell you what house we have? I don't need to go into that to tell you. It means nothing. You can have estates, but you channel massively resources to the kingdom. Most of our movements, we don't come back to the church and say, this is the bill to go to America or to go here or there. Some, they attend to, but majorly, it's handled. Hallelujah. In Pakistan Crusade, over 700 buses were rented. Not 70. Yes. That was in a foreign land. It is paid for. Amen. It's a new day for somebody. All we need tonight is, first, an agreement with God. Lord, are you looking for someone into whose hands You want to commit kingdom resources into, are you looking for someone who wants to make gain, not just for himself but for the kingdom? Here am I. Second, you start step into practical action. Whether you are going to have a business that is solely dedicated for the kingdom or whatever it is, you step into that practical action. You know, God moves with those who move, and they went and the Lord went. He moves with movers. First, the commitment. Second, the practical action. And then the third, you begin to take steps from where you are. God told Abraham, from where you are. So, even though the businesses or whatever I'm expecting has not started yet, but from this level, I have started. Went for Onisha Crusade. And I think two of the crusades in the East. Somebody said, how much is the cost of that crusade? The two of the cost was paid at once. Person attended the crusade, looked at the crowd. Faithful God. Joy-filled heart. Amen. And then you start from where you are. And you don't look back. And you see what God will do with your life. Friends, occupy till I come includes deal, that is Onisha Crusade. Onisha people did not leave the crusade ground till almost 11 in the night. All of this that we are talking about all happened this year. So Onisha Crusade. Hallelujah. Very, very quickly, someone lift up your hands and begin to speak to God. Appreciate Him for the word you received tonight. Honor Him for the word you received tonight. Adore Him for the word you received tonight. Give Him the praise. Give Him the honor. Give Him the adoration. Adonai, Ancient of Days, I appreciate you. I honor you. I adore you. In the name of Jesus. We're going to pray these 4 points within the 5 minutes before we go. Please don't move an inch until we are done praying. Lift your voice and say, Father. Say it louder. Say, Father, help me to cause maximum losses and damage to the kingdom of darkness by my life. In the name of Jesus. Pray that for the next 30 seconds. Maximum losses. Instrument in the salvation of principal men and kingdom and kingpins in the kingdom of darkness. Help me, Lord, to be an instrument, to be instrumental in the salvation of principal people in the name of Jesus. Lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and pray. Principal people. In Jesus' precious name, say after me, say, Father, help me to influence systems, institutions, and nations for the kingdom through excellence and integrity, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and pray. That's number three, actually, not one thing. Three. Let it set a fetter, Rata sete feto soto fada madrugala hagra. Laro te sete feto soto la madrugala hagla da. Lita sete feto soto la madrugala hagra di dedo. Leri tasi mi mi roto sodi la graga hagra sakali. Lete suri piano go madrugala adia. Ale bobo roto sete te fina gala garga hada salta la hururu. Rata sete feto sone gadra 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 hokosa hagra di. Leri tas soto feto kokosa kadra gadra hagra di zolharu. Rata sete feto sone anima la drogo 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 hagla gadra hagdi. Leia pato sene vira drogo 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 Father, we give you the praise in the name of Jesus. And finally, number four, say, Father, I receive the grace to conquer resources for the kingdom of God. Till you come, I am available to conquer resources for the kingdom. I am available, Lord. Lift your voice and pray. I am available. I am available. I am available. Make me an instrument to conquer resources for the kingdom. Nashido roto sadi di. Lerita se te fete se te drogo 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 Rata sa te fena ke drogo 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 hapdi di. Leroto sa te ke drogo 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 hapdi di. Kala ke drogo 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 di. Leroto sa te fena ke drogo 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 hapdi di. Eske to namana drogo 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 hapdi di. Shut up. In Jesus' precious name. Please remain standing in a few minutes, we shall be done. Anywhere you are tonight, in need of surrender to Jesus and forgiveness for your sins, you want me to pray for you? Please, no movement. Give me a few more minutes. You want me to pray for you? Place your hand on your chest and pray this prayer after me. Say, Father, I come before you today. I surrender my life to you. Today I have decided to follow you, Jesus. No turning back. From today, forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.